Okay, this is our last Yichud Shir of the summer. So I think we covered most of the major topics in Yichud. I think we did a fairly thorough job of getting through most of the topics. And this topic is already branching out a little bit beyond Yichud, because this is not something that's a purely Evan Ezer Simon Chav Beis topic. This gets into Yaredeya Simon Reish Mem Hei as well. And this, of course, is the Mishnah on Pei Beis Amar Aleph that tells us about hiring teachers for children. So let us take a look quickly at the Mishnah on Pei Beis Amar Aleph. The Mishnah tells us four halachos. Lo yilamid adam ravak sofrin. A ravak is not allowed to be malamid sofrin. So we have to translate a whole bunch of terms over here, namely, what is a ravak and what are sofrin? Who is he not allowed to teach, and who is he that is not allowed to teach? That's halacha number one. We don't know what it means. So says Rashi, ravak panoi below isha. Means a guy who is who's single, who's not married, who's below isha. So he's not allowed to teach sofrim. Zakt Rashi, what is sofrim? Malamde tinokos. He shouldn't be a teacher of children. Kolomar. And then Rashi adds a detail that doesn't seem to appear in the Mishnah. Lo yargil ravak atzmo lios mina sofrim. That he shouldn't be margil himself to be amongst those who teach. Well, begorim farish time, the Gemara will explain why. V'chein lo t'lamid isha sofrim lo targil atzma lios mimalam de tinokos. And the next halach in the Mishnah, that a woman is also limited, is also lo targil atzma. What's Rashi adding when he says lo yargil atzma, lo targil atzma? So in all likelihood he's saying that if you want to invite a guest speaker in who happens to be a single guy and he's going to speak to the children, no problem. Over here we're not talking about situations where there is a yichud problem, we're talking about developing a construct where something will consistently be happening, and that consistency is going to be asking for trouble. It's not the idea that a man can't speak to a group of children or that a woman can't speak to a group of children. It's that if you set up a situation where there's going to be a consistent access, as the Gemara is going to describe, to the parents, well, that's asking for trouble, and therefore the Rabbanan made a takana. This is very clearly a din midrabbanan. This is obviously not a din d'oraisa. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that there's anybody that's limited from teaching children Torah. The Mishnah goes on. V'lotamidish sofrim, a woman can't teach sofrim either. Rabbi Lazar Omer, so by the way, just note, in the Mishnah, it's lo yilamid adam ravak sofrim and lo talamidish sofrim. It sounds like that the iser is the same, meaning whoever the man is not allowed to teach, the woman is also not allowed to teach. Whoever the single man is not allowed to teach. Now, but what does sofrim really mean? Sofrim is not the kids. What is sofrim? Sofrim are the teachers. So Rashi is saying, lo yilamid in a way that you are one of the sofrim. That's what Rashi is saying, lo yargil atzmo to be one of the sofrim. Sofrim doesn't mean tinokos. So we don't yet know from the Mishnah exactly who they're not allowed to teach, meaning what age children, or even if it's the same for men and women. It just says that he should not be in the habit of being amongst the sofrim. So when Rashi says lo yargil, it could very well be that he's saying that he's translating the word yilamid. Yilamid may not mean to teach. Yilamid over here may mean to be lamud b'inyan, to be someone who's consistent in the inyan. That what should he not be consistent in? He shouldn't be sofrim. He shouldn't be amongst the teachers. She shouldn't be a consistent teacher. One second, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, af mi she'en lo isha lo yilamid sofrim. That even someone who doesn't have an isha also. So the obvious problem is, what's Rabbi Lazar adding? The Tanakhama already said that a ravak should not be amongst the sofrim. So what's Rabbi Lazar saying? That even someone who doesn't have an isha, isn't that the same thing? And then the Mishnah adds two other halachos. Rabbi Yudomar lo yira ravak behema, velo yishnu shei ravakim betal zachas, that he shouldn't be a shepherd, and he shouldn't have two single guys sleeping under the same cover. V'cham matir min l'cham say both of those things are mutter. We're going to leave out those last two things for now, and we're going to focus on the first two, on the man, the single man being a teacher, and the woman being a teacher. Before we see the Gemara, yeah?
Yeah, Rashi, before he goes, by man and goes to Neos Mamet Nevis? Why is it
changed? Ah, so Rashi changes it, right? Rashi changes it a little bit. So by he says, Sofrim, he says, Minas Sofrim. V'chein lo talamid isha Sofrim. And he says that means mi malam de tinokos. He never said malam de tinokos. He says it by man also. He says malam de tinokos by both of them. Rashi's not the problem. We're going to see that there's going to be an issue, but that's not Rashi. Rashi's malam de tinokos by both.
He doesn't mention Rabbah.
What?
He doesn't mention
Rabbah. Oh, yeah, yeah. By a woman, it sounds like even if she's married. I mean, it's not, for a man, it's only if the man is single. And for a woman, the issue is apparently even if she's married. It's not only if it's a single woman. Says Gemara, my time, well, what's the issue over here? This is, what's the problem with having a single guy teaching? Meaning, what, you're going to say that that we suspect him of messing with the little boys, of starting up with the little boys? It doesn't seem that way from the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, Chacham Matirim, for a single guy to sleep under the same cover as another guy. So if that's what we're afraid of, we're afraid of Mishkav Zachar tendencies or things of that nature, well, the Chacham Marmatir, the Chacham don't think that we're concerned for things like that. So what exactly is the problem over here? Ile mishum yanuki, if it's because of the children, we're worried that he's going to mess with the children of Tanya, we know that that's not the case. We're not choshed people of such things. Ela ravak mishum amhasa diyanuki, isha mishum avhasa diyanuki. It must be that the concern with the single guy is the children's mothers, and the concern with the woman is the children's fathers. So right away, a whole bunch of discrepancies jump out at you. First of all, if the concern is the mothers and the fathers respectively, why is the issur on every woman to be a teacher, but only on single men to be a teacher? Second of all, the Gemara's original question, my taima, what's the reason for this halacha? Which halacha? Is the Gemara asking that? Is the Gemara asking about the halach of the man or the halach of the woman? The halach of the man being a teacher or the woman being a teacher? Man, how do you know that it's asking about the man? Because it says, you can't tell me it's about the yanuki, it's about the children, because that's Mishkav Zachar, that and we're not choshed anyone Mishkav Zachar. Well, if the question was about the woman, then you can say it's about the yanuki, right? L'chora. So the question seems to be about the man, but yet when the Gemara gives the answer, the Gemara says an answer for the man and for the woman. That Ravak Mishum Amasa Dinuki Isha Mishum Afasa. Did something change? Did we initially know that the problem with the Isha was Afasa Dinuki? Or did we not know that originally? We thought it was something else, and then once we say that with the man it's about the parents, and we say that with the woman it's about the parents as well. Yeah.
Can we just stop? Once we're giving a reason for something, you're going to put both of them together. Like, there's so many reasons. They're answering the same question.
Were you assuming that was the reason originally when we didn't ask on the woman?
So you asked originally also on the woman?
What?
Ask also on the woman? Ask the woman.
Yeah, the Gemara never asked about the woman. Because what was the Gemara assuming
when
it didn't ask about the woman?
Her, so not really. It's, yeah, it's something we know about women.
We knew that the concern was?
That it's Allah and Father.
How did we know that? We're saying we knew the concern was on the father. What did the Gemara want to assume about the guy first, about the male teacher, that it related to the students? It's thinking outside the box to think that it doesn't relate to the students, that it relates to some, you know, some other people other than the students.
Then we have no problem with the woman. Does it make sense then?
What makes sense?
Is that a woman having a relationship with
the... Ah, so by the women, the Gemara was probably assuming it relates to the students at first. But then the maskana says, no, it's about the fathers. Does that mean we're not worried about the students? And if we could somehow neutralize the father concern, we're okay with that? With the woman teaching children? Also, it never addresses, what about teaching young girls? It only talks about teaching young boys. Now, would it make a difference if it's about it? Why doesn't it address teaching young girls? Yeah, they would never teach girls back then. The girls never had schools, so it didn't exist. It's like people say, you know, it never says anywhere in Shas that you can't have co-ed classes. It never says anywhere in Shas that you're allowed to teach girls, because they never taught girls. The problem never would have arisen, because they never taught girls anything. That came very recently, the beginning of the 20th century with the Beis Yaakov movement. prior to that, they just didn't teach girls, so it wasn't an issue. But what would the halacha then be? We're going to have to translate into contemporary times and say, well, would the halacha have been different if it's about teaching girls? Now, if it's about the children themselves, if the concern was about the children themselves, and maybe with girls you have more of a concern with the single guy than you would with the woman. But if it's about the parents who are going to show up, so then the chora, it shouldn't make a difference whether you're teaching boys and girls. Whether you're teaching boys or you're teaching girls. Unless you argue that certain parents show up more often for their sons' schools and, you know, the other parent shows up more often for the daughter's school. Yeah.
How old are these tinokos?
That's the other issue we have to discuss. How old are these tinokos? And would it be better... How old do you think they are, roughly?
One.
So, one? No, but again, you're not teaching a one-year-old. Or would they teach a one-year-old? No, they don't. Even gone, they don't have to, like, at least two, three. What? Roy Labia? Why would you assume Roy Labia? Because you're assuming the issue is about the children. But once the issue is about the parents, well, who cares if they're Roy Labia? Oh, okay, good. So, let's assume we're talking about little children that were not Mosratzmum Labia. And there are a bunch of them. So, you could neutralize yichud problems when you're in the classroom, right? If they were older, if they were teenagers, if it was a high school class, would it be better or would it be worse? You could argue both ways. No, argue both ways. If you're saying that everyone is in a prutzim, so then if they were older, good. If they were older, it could be an isser of yichud. If it's a bunch of boys in the classroom and it's a female teacher, right? A female teacher, it would be an isser of yichud.
That's a misurah.
What?
That's a misurah. It's not a problem.
If you assume that you're in a classroom setting where a principal could walk in, yeah?
It's also that the parents probably aren't as present.
Parents are probably not as present by older kids. So if the concern is the parents, you have less to be worried about when you're dealing with older kids. If the concern is the kids, you have more to be worried about when you're dealing with older kids. So that's also something that has to play out.
Would it also be considered asuka b'menashim?
And another thing is this called asuka b'menashim or osik b'menashim? That his business is with women. Let's say you have a male teacher teaches in girls' high school. So is that called Osik im Anashim? And therefore, you lose what? You lose the heter of Bala Be'ir. Do you lose other heterim as well? What other heter do you lose? Nashim Harbe. If you generally hold like Rashi that Nashim Harbe is Mutter, you lose the Nashim Harbe when you're the heter, if you're talking about if you call it someone as Osik im Anashim. So this is all discussed by the postman, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. The first and most fundamental thing we have to figure out in this sugya is who do we pass them on? Because we have a machlokas in the Mishnah, a fundamental machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah, where let's actually see the Gemara first, because we have to see what the machlokas is about. Rav Lozer Amar Af Mishay and Luisha. Tana Kamat said that only a Ravak is not allowed to teach, and Rav Lozer says, no, not just a Ravak, Af Mishay and Luisha, even someone who doesn't have an Isha. Well, isn't that the same thing? So the Gemara says, Rav Lozer Amar Af Mishay and Luisha, Yibayilhu. Mishay and Luisha Klal, the Gemara doesn't say Hainu Tanakama. You're saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Why doesn't the Gemara ask Hainu Tanakama? The Gemara is already assuming that we know the difference between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakama. The Gemara is just asking about the extent of the difference between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakama. I mean, the Gemara is already assuming the way Rashi understands it, the way Rashi reads the Gemara, is that Rabbi Elazar is definitely adding that even if a man is not married now, but was once married, that too would be usher, whereas the Tanakhama would say only a ravak means someone who was never married. So we're certain about that. We're certain that the Tanakhama holds the only problem is someone who was never married. Then Rabbi Elazar adds even someone who was once married. The question the Gemara has is, what about someone who's currently married but his wife's not home? That's what the Gemara is not sure about. Would Rabbi Elazar even go that far and say that even such a guy is not allowed to be a teacher? that you're not allowed to have a guy whose wife isn't around?
What does that mean, not around?
Oh, so we have to discuss what that means also. So you buy a little. Let's say his wife lives in one city and he travels for each week. He comes home for Shabbos and each week he travels to another city to teach. There are people that have arrangements like this, that commute to work like that. So Tashima, af mi sheyesh lo ve'in ashruya etzol lo yilam mitzofrim. So Blazer is much more machmir in Tanakama on two levels. Tanakama says only someone who was never married. Blazer says even if he was once married, not only even if he was once married, even if he's currently married, but his wife is not shruya etzol, his wife is not there, it's still going to be aser. So now, how do we paskin? So generally speaking, how would you paskin? When you have a machlokas Tanakama in Blazer? Tanakama. Why Tanakama? Stam Mishnah, it seems like it's the sheet of the Chachamim, and you were not passing like a Das Yachav Reb Lazar, which of course makes it all the more troubling that the Rambam in Halacha Yud Gimel, Misha Ein Lo Isha Lo Yilami Tinokos Misha Imos Habanim Ba'os Lebeis HaSefer Levneim V'nimtza Misgara B'nashim V'chein Isha Lo Talamid Ketanim Ibnei Avos Sehen Shein Ba'in Beglal B'neim V'nimtza Misyachadim Imad Ve'enam lamit sarkshtia ishto shruya imo bebeisa sefer elihi bebeisa v'hum alamid bimakoma. What's the Rambam saying with that last line? The guy's wife doesn't have to accompany him to class every day. She doesn't have to sit in on his classes. But he bebeisa v'hum alamid bimakoma. She could be home and he's allowed to teach in the school building. And that's fine, she doesn't have to accompany him to school. But what is he implying? That if she's not Bebesa, if she's somewhere else in an entirely different city, then he cannot teach. Ah, he's married, why can't he teach? Because we're paskening like Reb Elazar. Sounds like the Rambam is paskening like Reb Elazar, not like the Tanakama. If he was paskening like the Tanakama, then what are you talking about where his wife has to be? The whole Isser is only if he doesn't have a wife at all and never did have a wife. If he has a wife or once had a wife, there would be no issue. But amazingly, that's not the most startling thing about the Rambam. This Rambam is shocking for another reason. What did the Gemara say? We're worried about a young man teaching, a single man teaching, not Lav Dafka young, a single man teaching because of the mothers. What does it mean because of the mothers? What's going to happen with the mothers? So, what did Rashi say? Did Rashi say anything? What's going to happen with the mothers? Did Rashi say, Mipneim hasadi unuki, imoseim shal tinokos shemetsuyos etzlo lahavi esbenein lebeis ha-sefer. Rashi was very cryptic about that. What's going to be? The mothers are going to bring the kids and therefore they'll always be around. They'll always be around. Now, he doesn't say exactly what the issue is. So what could the issue be? And therefore, use that of Balabir. But still, meaning, you're allowed to be Osekim Anashim. You're allowed to have a job that's Osekim Anashim. There's no Isser. But yet over here, we're making it an Isser. So there must be something that we're worried about is going to happen with the mothers. That he's going to have an affair with one of the mothers, something like that. Maybe. Or maybe that he'll have Yichud with one of the mothers, since after all, that is what we're discussing. Something of that nature. And whatever it is that we're concerned about with the Rebbe, we should be concerned about with the Mara. We said a woman is not allowed to be a mora for that same reason, right? But comes the Rambam and he says, what's going to happen with the man? V'nimtza misgara b'nashim. He's going to have giroi b'nashim. What does it mean, giroi b'nashim? That it's, he's going to have an unhealthy access to women. He's going to have a yetzer hara and taivas for women. Yet, when it comes to the isha, v'chein, Isha lo tzalam ikram bnei avosein shein ban b'klal b'nei minimtzu misyachadim ima. The women were afraid of the fathers having yichud with the woman. So it's totally different different concerns. Why does the Rambam split the concern? Why not say Misgara for both, or better yet, say Yichud for both? Don't let the young man teach the children because the mothers are going to come and he's going to have Yichud with the mothers. Yeah?
That is in Gemara, it's a Mishnah, right? It seems to be talking about Bia, right? Because you have the other Shitas that are talking about Behema and Vitalis Echad, right? And even though we reject those, the whole discussion is about, like, not worried about Yichud, we're talking about Bia, right? So,
well, we're worried about Kurvala Arayas. So the question is this something that we need to make our chakos about? Right. Yeah, I mean, I hear. I mean, it sounds more like it's talking about Bia than it is about Yichud, but it could just... What? It's so hard to deal with it. Yeah.
Right.
We're definitely talking about something that's nipping it in the bud in the early stages before it gets to a point where it's going to lead to something worse. What is that something worse? So by the behema, maybe bestiality. It's not obviously not yichud. There's no issue with the behema, and by the sleeping in the same talis, it's going to be homosexuality. It's not going to be. But over here, yet we might be suggesting that it's yichud, which is a little bit funny because the rest of the mission is not about it. Right? That's what I'm suggesting. Okay, couple of things over here. So the Rambam passing like Rav Elazar. Why does Rambam passing like Rav Elazar? The Beis Yosef does not deal with it here, but the Beis Yosef deals with it in Yerodeh and Simon Reish Mem Hei. And the Beis Yosef writes in Yerodeh and Simon Reish Mem Hei that Midivrei Rambam Perek Beis Milchas Talmud Torah near Shepasik Rav Elazar. The Rambam Talmud Torah seems to pass like Rav Elazar. The Chen Kas Behedya Perek of Beis Milchas Yisuri Bia. And he passes that way explicitly in Hilchos Yerubia, and he quotes the Rambam. Then he writes, "Because of Rav Magid, Shatam Shapasik Rav Elazar Mishum Di Ibayulan Ali Bay." The whole reason we pass like Rav Elazar is because Ibayulan Ali Bay. What does that mean? The Gemara has a discussion within Shitas Rav Elazar. If Shitas Rav Elazar was rejected from Halacha, the Gemara wouldn't waste its time discussing it. The Gemara never has a discussion within the Sheet of the Tanakh. What discussions does Gemara have within the Sheet of Rav Elazar? Mishe and Loisha. What does that mean? Does that mean someone who whose wife is not? Does that even include someone whose wife is not around, or is it only someone who was once married? Right. So that's the fact that the Gemara raises a discussion is an indication of psak. Now, we do say that sometimes in Psak. That is one of the rules of Psak, but this is a very odd application of that rule of Psak. When do we say that kind of thing? Well, the fact that the Gemara was Shakal Vitari Alibay, that the Gemara was asking and answering about that opinion, that tells us we must pass on that opinion, that's normally when everything else is even. Meaning when you have Imtim Tzolomers. Imtim Tzolomer this, Imtim Tzolomer that. Right, so when we have, let's say, the Gemara says, do we paskin A, do we paskin B? If it's B, do we paskin C, do we paskin D? If it's D, do we paskin E, do we paskin F? So in those cases, we paskin B, we paskin D. Why? Because it said, if it's B, do we paskin C, do we paskin D? So the fact that it asked if it's B and continued along that line, even though it never answered it, it may end in the teiku. So say the fact that the Gemara started tumbling about that side tells us that it must be in that side. That's when there's no other indication of Hanapaski. Where the Gemara leaves it totally unresolved. But when you have a machlokas, Tanakama and Rav Elazar, we have Kloli Apsak that tells us that you're passing like the Tanakama against Rav Elazar. So to say Shakal Vitari Ali Bey is a little bit difficult.
So why can't you say that the Gemara is just trying to find what he meant? Just to be Machali because you
didn't. Yeah, in general, when the Gemara, when there is already a rule of Psak in place, it's fair game for the Gemara to try to figure out what the other Shita holds, what the Shita we don't paskin like holds. Rav Shechter often points out that the concept Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim most fundamentally means that when we learn the Shitos of Beis Shammai, who we don't paskin like, we're still being mekayim in the midst of Talmud Torah, and it's therefore kedai to learn it. So it's important to know what the Shitos that we don't paskin like hold as well. Mishnah Idyo says that we dafka learn shitos that we don't hold like, and we record them in Mishnayos, even though they are rejected la halacha. We still record them in the Mishnayos. Why do we record them in the Mishnayos? Because one day someone's going to come along and say, "Hey, I have a great idea. Why don't we pass in this way?" And we'll be able to tell him, your idea has been thought of, it's been suggested and rejected, and we have a record of it. So it's always good to learn the shittos that are rejected. So that's a little bit of a difficult defense of the Rambam, but that's the only one. It's the only one that I've really seen. I didn't really see much else in terms of defending why the Rambam would paskin that way. What I saw more discussion about is the other question in the Rambam: why the Rambam splits his reasoning. Yeah.
How do we see from the Rambam in Talmud Torah, like 4:11?
The what?
The Rambam and Talmud Torah, the passing of the Gaza.
So he says it's not really in the Rambam and Talmud Torah. He
said,
what?
It says near. Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you have it? Parak Beis Halacha Dalin. Talmud Torah. Let's see. So the Rambam says, Misha ein lo isha, lo yilam et tirokos b'mnei imo sehen. Probably just the Lashon Mishay and Loisha as opposed to Ravak. I mean, Tanakam says Lo Yilamid Adam Ravak Sofrim, and Rabbi Loza says Af Mishay and Loisha. So the fact that he uses, because as we've mentioned in the past, the Rambam very often tries to use the exact terminology of the Mishnah, and you know Shulchan Aruch tries to use the exact terminology of the Rambam. So the fact that he uses that terminology, which is the terminology of Rabbi Loza, I imagine that's what it is.
So, yeah.
He says, yeah, that's also dealt with. It's a steer in the Rambam.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a clear steer in the Rambam. So there, you have all sorts of approaches ranging from he changed his mind, there was a typo, you know, like all sorts of difficult, okay, very, very shver, difficult to understand.
The Rambam changes a lot of counting to
Tiyoko in
this Rambam.
Ah, yeah. So, one second. Right, so that's also another thing to deal with in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Misha in Luisha lo yilameid tinokos, Isha lo tilameid kitanim. A guy who's not married can't teach tinokos, a woman can't teach kitanim. Not only why does he do that, but it makes, meaning, why would he do that? But whatever explanation you're going to give, L'chora is going to be to differentiate between Tinokos and Ketanim, but any difference between Tinokos and Ketanim should be totally irrelevant. Why should it be totally irrelevant? We don't care about the Tinokos or the Ketanim, we care about the parents. The whole halach is about the parents, it's not about the Tinokos or Ketanim. You know, we'll start with that one. Take a look in the bottom of the tour, in the Prisha. It's on page 24 of your packets. Lo yilame Tinokos. So the Torah quotes the exact lashon of the Rambam. So the Prisha on the bottom of the Torah writes, "Yesh l'dakte k'tzasal shinuy lashon." The shinuy lashon, the fact that it changes the language, is difficult. The gabi didei kasav lo yilamit tinokos, the gabi didok kasav lo talamit ketanim. To chashash dayim b'shul avos v'imoshal ketanim isa. Right, the chashash is by the parents anyway. So what difference would it make if you talk about tinokos or ketanim? Vinira de Orcha de Milson Nakat, he says, it's the normal concern for a male teacher is only going to be by Tinokos, the parents of Tinokos, and the normal concern for a female teacher will only be the parents of Ketan. Why? Shemiderech imos lelech achar benosehen vahainu Tinokos, viderechavos lelech achar beneim zacharim vahainu Ketan. Saying a big chiddush. Saying when we say Tinokos, it means girls. And when we say ketanim, it means boys. So a male teacher shouldn't teach little girls. And not because of the girls. There's nothing wrong with the girls. But he shouldn't teach girls because who goes to parent-teacher conferences for the girls' schools? Mommy does. And who goes to parent-teacher conferences for the boys' schools? Daddy does. That's what he says. Is that true, first of all? But more fundamentally, not even first of all, what's really first of all is, since when does Melami Tinokos mean a teacher of little girls? Melami Tinokos always means a teacher of little boys. How do I know? Because the term appears in Shas. And if it appears in Shas, it wasn't talking about teaching girls, because they never taught girls. But that's the term that we use, because kids are kids, so it's a more feminine type of time of life. They don't have beards yet, they don't have whatever. So we always use the term Melami Tinokos. So to say that some are girls, very, very difficult. He says, therefore, a woman can teach young children, young girls. V'ish mutar l'lamed im zacharim. And a man is allowed to teach zacharim. What? It's against the Gemara. Why is that against the Gemara? No, say better though. What is the Gemara's first my time? And the Gemara says, what's the reason? Don't tell me the reason is... Right, the reason is the kids, because men aren't chashar mishkov zachar. What do you mean? The halacha over here is not that men aren't allowed to teach boys. The halacha is men aren't allowed to teach girls. What does that have to do with mishkov zachar? Yeah, but he's saying that the iser never, meaning the Gemara should have mentioned it. if that's changing, the halacha itself is changing. The Gemara really should have mentioned that. What the Gemara is changing is the reason, not the halacha. What's from the Hava Mina to the Maskana. He's suggesting men are allowed to teach little boys. The Gemara says clearly that the halacha is that men are not allowed to teach little boys. Because the Gemara says, what are we worried about with the men teaching little boys? You worried the men are going to mess with the little boys? We don't worry about those things. So, Umiyu Ze'eno, he says. Torabeinu B'yardeya Sosin Reish Memei Kosov Gam B'isha Lo Talamidim Tinokos. He says, but this pshat can't be correct because the Torah says in Yeridaya that a woman is also not allowed to teach tinokos. So it can't be that the issue is only a woman teaching boys and a man teaching girls. Gam b'mishnah perkas or yuchsin daf hebeis sasam b'kasav b'shnei and shave. And the Mishnah uses the same lashon for both of them. Lo yilamid ravak sofrim v'lo tamid isha sofrim. So he says it does. It's not the impression that you get from our Mishnah. He doesn't point out the most obvious and what we just pointed out, that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is explicit that a man is not allowed to teach boys. So why Taka does it say Tinokos and then Ketanim? So a couple lines later, the end of the second white line, V'nira dekasav tchila lashon tinokos, shehu lashon ha-mishnah bi'alma, shekari katana b'shem tinokos, u'mashkas rabbeinu nami b'sim niyazayin lashon ha-mishnah zal, v'afilu shama min ha-tinokos, shamru meis ploni v'chulei, v'acha chasav lashon ha-gemara v'aposkim katanim. He says, don't make anything out of it. When he uses tinokos, that's because Mishnayis in general refer to kids as tinokos. And he gives an example where Mishnah is referred to kids as Tinokos. Tinokos shel beis Rabban. Who are Tinokos shel beis Rabban? It's boys. It's little boys are Tinokos shel beis Rabban. And then he shifts into Lashon HaGemara V'Poskim, where the Gemara and Poskim refer to kids as Ketanim. But it's all the same. It doesn't mean anything different. Yeah.
The Rambam and Talmud Torah doesn't differentiate between Tinokos and Ketanim. Just as Tinokos.
This is Tinokos for both of them. Yeah. So it gives you the impression it doesn't really make a difference.
It's
a stira.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy what he's saying over here, what the priest is saying, then it doesn't make a difference.
Why would you change over there?
What?
Why would you change by...
Because it doesn't make a difference. Meaning if you say everything's lavdavka, then everything's lavdavka. What? Right, it's hard. Knowing the nature of the author, it's difficult to accept that things were just written flippantly, you know. This word, that word. Not like anyone's ever going to be medayik, right? It's hard to imagine that, yeah.
Is it possible that the age of like a tinok is older than, the age of a katan is older than a tinok?
Yes.
By each other being issued, so, like, possibly because the kid, if the boy is like over the age of 9, and is already whatever, so there could be an issue of yichud besides.
But the concern is the parents.
Yeah, but even on top of the parents, even more than that, there's also an issue of there could be an issue of yichud besides for just that. And there could be an issue of the parents.
We definitely have to deal with what the issue that there might be issues with the kids. But either Ketanim or Tinokos Lechora are under 9, shouldn't be an issue with the female teacher. Who takes care of very little children? mommy, right? The mother usually does. Older children, especially when getting involved in their education, very often, it's the father. So it could be that if it's a female teacher teaching kids and the concern is about the father, that it's going to be, it's not going to be a ganenet that's going to be concerned. It's going to be an elementary school teacher. Whereas if it's a male teacher and the concern is that the mother might show up, it's we don't want him to be a preschool teacher. Because that's where the mother is most likely to be involved. Meaning, it could be what the Rambam is alluding to is that there is this halacha, but maybe this halacha is not as ironclad with defined rules as you would expect most halachas to be. Maybe this halacha is really more dependent on minhag and on the actual nature of society within which you live. And if that society, it wouldn't be this, this is not a reasonable concern that there's going to be some relationship, so then maybe the whole halacha won't apply. And the truth is, the post, and then it would, how would you have to read the Rambam? You'd have to say who's older, who's younger. We said a guy is not allowed to teach tinokos because that makes a lot of sense. Tinokos are very young, and the mother's going to be there. The mother's not allowed to teach. The woman's not allowed to teach katanim. Why? Because they're a little bit older. The father might be there. So the Rambam might just be talking practically at that point, that, you know, in terms of what's actually going to happen. Now, you have to say on some level that we're talking practically, and this was not a chok kavua, that they made a gezera, that Bezin Chavera was not allowed to come and be mevatel, because, you know, every preschool and most elementary schools are staffed largely with women. And whereas you say a single guy shouldn't be a teacher, and that's a halbutzara, because, you know, there are plenty of single guys that are teachers, but there are lots and lots and lots of women that are teaching. And it's not only about single women, the halacha and the mission is about all women. And according to many poskim, there's no heter of bala be'ir. Whatever we're worried about with the woman is not going to be a heter of bala be'ir. So how do we allow that? So all the poskim say, oh, we allow it because it's in a school building, and in a school building we're not worried about yichud, there are always other people there. When fathers drop off their kids, they don't even get out of their car, they just go in the carpool lane, and the kid jumps out, so he doesn't even connect with the teacher in any way. One svara after another. One baich svara after another. So, but where do these svaras come? You can't just make stuff up. Oh, so Mistama doesn't apply. Well, they made a gzera. That, you know, the gzera was not don't have yichud. The gzera was don't hire them as a teacher. So how could they become teachers? Normally, the Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Vilchus Mamrim, we paskin that when a bezin makes a gzera, ein yachal levatel divrei bezin chavero, and king gadol imenu b'chachu b'minyan. You're not allowed to be mevatel bezin chavero unless you have a bezin that's greater b'chachu b'minyan. So what all the poskim somehow assume over here is that built into this gezeira was a lot of leeway. That this wasn't, it didn't have the koach of a formal gezeira for some reason. Maybe because it's a gezeira l'gezeira. If you hold that the concerns of yichud here are only going to be mitrabanan, so we're being gozer on yichud. But for some reason, it's considered to be a one that has more leeway. Maybe the Rambam's already alluding to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you say that along those lines that Katanim is going to be younger? So the reason why a woman
a Tinoka's going to be younger.
A Tinoka's going to be older. Is that what
you're saying? I thought we said Tinoka should be younger. Yeah.
What? Did you just say now that Tinoka's going to be older?
I thought Tinoka should be the younger kids in the Rambam. No. That's why he said a guy shouldn't teach tinokos because it's the mothers that are most commonly.
Right. The mothers of the katanim are going to be younger. It doesn't make sense why we're saying that it can't worry for yichud because if the father comes, so the children aren't going to be old enough to know what's going on. They're not going to know like you're not going to.
So that would help if it was the reverse, you said. Right. Yeah. But it's a problem here. So what do we do with that other problem with the Rambam? That when it comes to the guy, we're worried about misgara binashim. When it comes to the woman, we're worried about yichud with the men. Now, the Yavelio says, you know, we have two major problems here. What happened to Bala Be'ir? Right? Why is there no heter Bala Be'ir? And why is it that there are two different concerns for the guy, and for the male teacher and for the female teacher? So the Yad Eliyahu and the Rambam says male teacher doesn't have to worry about yichud. There's no concern about yichud with the mothers of the children, because most of the mothers of the children are married. So there's bala bi'ir. So we're not made such a gzeir. So we don't have to worry about yichud. We only have to worry about his yetzer hara. On the flip side, the female teacher doesn't have to worry about mezgare ba'anashim, because that's not a thing. Women don't have that same taiva. So there is no miskara ba'anashim. But she does have to worry about yichud. What about her own husband, Bala Be'ir? Why don't we assume that Bala Be'ir is going to help?
Assume it doesn't work the opposite way.
What?
Assume it doesn't work the opposite way.
What do you mean?
For the man it doesn't work? No, for the...
Well, this is a woman, female teacher, worried about her having yichud with the father of one of the kids. Why doesn't the fact that her husband's in town help? So he says, because then she would have to stop teaching every time her husband leaves town. And that would be crazy. So you have to assume that it's not always going to be Bala Be'ir. Very shver, no? Why would she have to stop teaching every time her husband leaves town? The gzeira is, don't have her teach consistently because she might come to have yichud. So what, we're going to be concerned if her husband takes a business trip once a year? We're going to be concerned that's dafka when she's going to have yichud? And that's Pumtu, and we're going to have Gzeira again. It's very difficult to imagine that we'd make a Gzeira for that, you know, little window of time when her husband travels. There must be some other reason why Bala Be'ir doesn't work over here, if in fact Bala Be'ir doesn't work over here. Very good. So maybe the reason Bala Be'ir doesn't work with the female teacher is because who are your clients when you're a teacher? Your clients are not really the kids, because you have to answer to the parents. So whoever she's going to be constantly dealing with the fathers of the children, again, especially if we're talking about older children, which is the way the Rambam sounds like. So she's always dealing with the fathers. So maybe just like we have a din, that someone who's osek im hanashim, that the Bala Be'ir is not going to help. Well, maybe you have such a similar idea that if she's constantly dealing with men, the Bala Be'ir is not going to help. Now, the problem with that is, what was the svara of Misha Zako and Manashe? The Bala Be'ir is not going to help?
Israeli.
What?
Israeli.
They're always together, and therefore? And therefore, Libo Gaspa. And over here? They're not always around. She's with the children all the time. Not only that, the concern is that because they have that comfort level, she can be seduced, right? But over here, well, would you say the same thing, that because they're so comfortable, she can... Yeah, I guess. If you take a look at Rav Moshe, it was Moshe Os Yud Ches in that tshuva. He discusses whether women can be hired as teachers, and whether Bala Be'ir helps. And he points out that it's a machlokas haposkim. And he writes, he quotes from the Beis Shmuel, "Amelei iyef shal kabel isha lemikri dardik yishu lekol hashana shari ein derech yish lios tamid vebeiso." Because Mishnah writes that a man's not always going to be home, so he can't hire the woman to be a mikri dardiki, to be a teacher of children. And you don't need the husband to actually be home, you just need the husband to be in the city. Shemashma de lo mahani im yeshla bal bi'ir elim kain hudar ima ba'oso bayis. The Taz writes, Bala Be'ir is not going to help over here. He needs to be in that bias where she's teaching. And that's the stima sloshna Rambam. And that's the stima sloshna of the Shulchan Aruch. V'im hu dafka mishum she'ira kama yamim she'inu bi'ir lo ha'ilo l'mistim, da'ika in she'kelu she'in zazin mitochir. And if you're going to say, well, maybe we're only concerned if the husband travels, he says, Rav Moshe says, hard to believe that we're only concerned if the husband travels, because no one said that. It didn't say that in the Ram, didn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch, and there are many professions where the husband never travels. I know people that have been married for 20 years and have never been away from their wives for more than one night. There are many professions where the husband just never goes anywhere. So then he never travels. So how could they not have mentioned that? So must be, he says, for example, Milamdim, Shochtim, Kama Baliumnius, Shalem Shumtsar Chlisameir. Shalchein sover atas da'av kshbal bir osuli shalami tinokus mishum afasa diyunuki vetami mishum shabimeshach azman nasis gaisa buhu. So he says that's svara, that it becomes libo gaspa over time. Shasurim b'yichud av kshbal ima, and that takes away the heter of bala bir. But it's not a sakov im anashim, right? It's libo gaspa. It's libo gaspa, which is what takes away the heter of bala bir. But it's a machlokas. So what do we do? Uladina, given the machlokas machlokas of Shmuel, ro divrei atas vadrisha, vihitiru kishbal beir yishlahatir. Since the major nosi kelim on the Shulchan Aruch are matir when it's bal beir, so he says they think we could be matir. Now the difficulty with applying bal beir to allowing a woman to be mlamit tinokos is that her husband is not always in town. Meaning there may come a time. So what? She should stop being a mlamit. She should stop teaching. When her husband's not in town, very, very difficult to understand. But at the end of the day, almost all poskim say that nowadays we have to be mekel. Why do we have to be mekel nowadays? So they come up with every tzad l'kula you could think of. That the fathers aren't really around, that they're in a school building, it's Pesach, Pesach, Rishis, Rabim, all of those things. What you have an interesting discussion about is whether it's wise for a school to hire female teachers in general. To teach boys, should female teachers be teaching boys? Rav Menashe Klein in Tshuva predictably thinks that it's terrible, absolutely not. A female teacher should not be teaching boys. Forget secular about yichud, but
secular also.
Yeah, specifically secular. Meaning that's what they. Meaning is this only a Judaic studies issue? This has nothing to do with what they're teaching l'chora, right? This should be anything. So the Rav Menashe Klein thinks it's a terrible thing. Why? Nothing to do with Yichud. Why does he think it's a terrible thing? The boys are going to be mistakel benashim. Certainly if, you know, he's dealing with women who are Yirei Shemayim and are very frum and wonderful and whatever, but it's just going to cause all sorts of other potential issues. Now, certainly, if the women don't dress properly and things of that nature, and having them teach in like a boys' high school is when they don't dress properly is obviously asking for trouble. And I don't think any posik would say that would be a wise thing to do. But teaching young children, the minig is to be mekel. And Sitzel Eliezer is a long tshuva explaining that for sure we should be mekel with women teaching young children because they're usually much better teachers of young children. Normally they're more available to teach young children. And you can find qualified teachers, and the kids don't really have yetzer hara yet. But obviously, kamuvan, the woman should dress in a tsnua way. And even if she's not such a firm woman, we should teach her what the standards are of a Jewish school and things of that nature. So this is, you know, in the end of the day, they're all mekel, and like there's no such thing as a gananet. I don't even know gananim. You know, you don't have a male. You know, married men teaching gan. You always have you have a female gananet, and that seems to be the minhag. Now, it's interesting that one of the kulas that they have is that it's always in a school building. It's never just in her house, and therefore it's mutter because you're not going to have to worry about yichud. L'chora, that doesn't work nowadays because a lot of times these playgroups and these preschools are run out of a woman's house. But if you have Bala Be'ir, and the husband knows where to find her, because she's in the house all day, and you have the fact that most of, like the Rambam sounds like, that it's that when you're dealing with very young children, it's the mothers who normally drop off the carpool, it's not the fathers who normally drop off the carpool. Although in like kollel communities, it's always the father who does the carpools, because the mother's always working, and the father's always the one that's got to be doing the carpools. Yeah.
Also, like in these gananas, there's like more than one woman.
Yeah, so the thing, yeah, I should, when
if the husband drops her off and there's two gun leaders there, then...
Right, so the question is, what's the issue? Is the issue that when the husband, when the man comes to drop off the kids, that's when there's going to be a problem? Or is the issue that they're going to develop a relationship and then they'll, and that relationship will become inappropriate? But it's not that, that when they drop off, it's going to be, you know, there are kids there when they're dropping them off. And it would be, you know, you would imagine in front of the children not doing anything. The my understanding was always that it's going to just turn into something, and it's going to turn into a relationship, and that relationship ultimately is going to be unhealthy. Yeah.
Is that just like the parents, right? Working within like a regular school, there's male teachers and female teachers. So.
Ah, so that's the other answer. That if you're within a regular school, you have other teachers. You have that are
worse?
What?
Wouldn't that be worse?
Oh, that they interact with each other? No, they say Pesach Pesuach.
No, but I'm saying if it's about, if it's not about the yichud, it's about the relationship that you could create and then something else can come out.
Well, in general, it's better than most other work environments. In any work environment, there's always going to be, so that's why we have Hilchos Yichud. So we have Hilchos Yichud for something like that. Yeah, why we were specifically concerned about teachers and developing relationships with fathers, not like, I don't know, accountants developing relationships with clients or, you know, other accountants or lawyers or doctors or anything, I don't know. I'm not sure why it's specifically by teachers.
You say like they work closer with their kids, so they feel like more connected.
Meaning it doesn't feel like business; it feels like family. I hear that. Yeah, as a teacher, I hear that. Good. All right. Okay. Have a great day. Thank you for all the learning. I enjoyed being challenged, and yeah, we'll have mincha in a couple of minutes.